This week's parable is one that Charlotte Dudley Cleghorn says that if this parable is taken literally, it would likely raise the hackles of any business person, whether in the corporate or the not-for-profit world. I have to say I agree. It's not a parable about fair wage. Maybe it is a parable about a living wage, but not a fair wage. You know, I have my list of questions I've shared with you through the years that I want to ask about different stories in the Bible. And I want to say, if this is about being fair, the landowner should have paid the full day worker first, then they would have gone on about their way and they wouldn't have known that the owner was paying the others the same amount. All would have been fine. But you and I both know that Jesus told the story the way it needed to be told. And Jesus told the story the way it needed to be heard. First, I do think it's important to remember who the audience was. Jesus was talking to people who didn't really understand what his reason for being here was. They wanted a Messiah that was coming to save them from the Romans. They wanted things on earth to change, and that wasn't what God had planned. Jesus was trying to get the people to see that God's grace was for everyone, and it wasn't something that was going to be earned or deserved or fair. It's hard to understand something that is so amazing and so wonderful that doesn't have to be earned in any way. Unfortunately, we live in a society where it's all about what we've earned, what we deserve, and honestly, what we can collect. This passage is often paired with a passage in Exodus 16 that we're also somewhat familiar with. The passage where they're out wandering in the desert and God provides manna from heaven. Every day there was manna from heaven, and it was enough. But there wasn't extra. And when the people would try to save the manna so that they would have extra tomorrow, it would spoil or it'd be full of worms. You couldn't hoard what God had given you. It was just enough. In the Gospels, we learn to pray the Lord's Prayer. And on Sundays when we're together, we pray the Lord's Prayer together. Give us this day our daily bread. Give us today enough for today, not enough for tomorrow or the week after that, enough for today. This passage also talks about not trying to build up our worth. A true living wage, what it takes to live today. Each person received the same amount of manna. Those who worked all day, those who were children and didn't work at all, the leaders, they were all given the same amount, what they needed to live. Daily bread, a living wage, the same amount for everyone. I often wonder if the landowner would have continued this for several days, continued to pay the workers the same if they showed up every day, would he have paid those who showed up every day at 5 o'clock and worked till sundown? Would they collect a living wage every day? Maybe that's not really the point. But maybe he would say, no, I need you to learn something here. I've given you work, and now I need you to come and do it. Be ready to work for me. Maybe that's true of God. Maybe it's not when we come to God early in life or later in life, but when we come to God, we need to be changed. There needs to be a difference in us. We don't earn God's grace. We don't deserve God's grace. But we should be changed. Wouldn't it be wonderful if when we received the gift of God's grace, that we recognized there was really just a few simple things we needed to understand? We need to recognize that God loves all of creation completely and purely. That there is nothing we can do to make God love us more or love us less. We're loved completely. We don't have to earn it. We don't have to justify it. We don't have to deserve it. It's just ours completely. And then that we're all made in the image of God. And that image is amazing. It's not that some of us are made in the image of God and others are all messed up. We're all made the same. And so we're all worthy of God's love. We don't have to change to receive it. We don't have to get fixed in order to receive it. It's ours. It's ours no matter what. It doesn't matter when we show up. As children, as teenagers, as adults, at the end of life, when we come to God, God is ready to receive us and grant us the grace that we could never deserve. Wouldn't it be wonderful if all of God's creation could remember those two basic things? In some ways, it's very helpful to hear these parables because we learn a lot that it's not all about us. We often want everything to be about us. We want to read the Bible and we want it to be about us. How good we are, how much work we've done, how many people we've helped. What a good person I am. God must think I am amazing. Like my sister used to say, don't hurt your shoulder patting yourself on the back. It's not about me. I can't be mad because God is generous. I need to be thankful. Thankful that it's not all about me. It's all about the generosity of God. That despite all the reasons God shouldn't welcome me, God does receive me with arms open wide. Jesus leaves us with a question. Can we learn to see through the eyes of God? Not our ideas of right and wrong or what is just or unjust, but God's ideas. Isn't it great to know that God is really a lousy bookkeeper? That God doesn't keep records on all the things we've done wrong. Perhaps we can learn to let go of the things that bother us, things that don't go our way. And perhaps we can learn, like God, to accept things, to forgive things, and to move on. Perhaps we can learn to be joyous, generous people of God. I pray today that we can each recognize that our God is generous beyond all understanding, that nothing we've ever done or ever could do makes us worthy of all that God does for us. If we can just stand back and accept that God loves us despite ourselves, that God sees in us all that is good and wonderful and all that we're meant to be, then we can be all that God created us to be. Changed into a new creation, perfect in God's sight. May it be so. Amen and amen.